Welcome to Formula Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And I'm Chef Cindy Wolf.
And
it's
Cindy.
A strong start, Tony.
That's because we're going to deal with that age old, fascinating.
Oh, my goodness.
Stressful.
People have been asking this for thousands of years, Tony.
Eternal question.
Eternal.
Exactly. Eternal.
Oh, I bet you're wondering.
So I bought chicken breasts.
Mm.
What do I do?
Exactly. Because I might cry if someone doesn't give
because
me a new
think
idea.
Because people buy a lot of chicken breasts, and there's like,
of course
I do. I know this one thing.
Yep.
You know?
And my family's tired of that one thing that I always do with them.
I can give you great pollo milanese.
Oh,
but
I love when you talk like that, Tony.
I've never heard that before. I can do that, but if I do it every Tuesday, it's like, oh my gosh.
Right, okay.
Right?
So we need some new ideas.
So
it's a good time of the year. There's so many beautiful fruits and vegetables out there.
There's a lot to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny. And this comes because you're working on a menu and you asked me yesterday, hey, what's a nice new chicken breast?
I need some help
with
this.
This is only the 1,000th time I've been asked this question.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, how long have we been serving chicken breasts in the restaurants? And it's just like, oh, God, please.
I want to propose a methodology for solving this.
Mm.
The one thing that appeals to you immediately that like you like, I want this part of that dish, and then figure out what everything else is that works with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, if I say chicken breast, you say?
Capers.
So give me the whole dish.
All right. So it's not something, you know, crazy new, obviously, in any way, but it is so good with chicken, and it's so nice and light this time of the year. So just a little light vinaigrette, you know, an olive oil. You know, chicken is pretty mild. It's not, you know, pork. It's not lamb. It's not a game bird. It's one of the milder flavored things, which is why so many people like it, and also it's inexpensive.
One of the questions always in a dish, sorry, I'm getting the details straight away. If skin is on that breast, you have that fat you can realize in the pan.
Sure.
And that changes the balance of what you're doing. But please,
I think the chicken skin, quite frankly, can be the best part of the chicken. So if you're able to eat it, then, you know, go for it. Tiny capers, the smaller the caper, the more I like them. I think one of the things about working with capers, just remember they're in a brine solution. So take them out, put them in a little sieve and wash them under cold water just to rinse them. You're just rinsing them off. You're draining them because you don't really want to serve that brine. It's a little too strong. And just rinse them off in cold water and then let them drain for a minute while you're getting your bowl and your olive oil and you're squeezing your fresh lemon. You can squeeze that through you can put the capers in the bowl with the olive oil, squeeze it through that sieve you've already got out. And chop chives, nice and fine, and add that to the bowl. So you have capers, chopped chive, fresh lemon juice, and extra virgin olive oil. I'd hit it with a little bit of freshly ground black pepper. You need absolutely no salt in there whatsoever.
Well, the capers carry the salt.
Exactly. And then, you know, you have this nice little vinaigrette that's, or dressing, whatever you want to call it, or relish, that is ready to go. And you can either pop that in the refrigerator, just keep it cool while you're cooking your chicken, or you can leave it on the counter. It's not going to hurt it if you're about to use it. You may want it cold because you may want it to feel cold on the palate when you're eating it because it's a hot day. Something that goes beautifully with that vinaigrette and we're getting heirloom tomatoes right now. So some nice, thinly sliced, gorgeous, like purple Cherokees or any of your favorite tomato. It could be a regular red tomato if it's nice and ripe and pretty. But anything, it's always nice to me to have a combination of the different heirlooms because they all have different levels of acid and sugar and, you know, flavor profile can be different. And it's nice to have some green ones and like the green zebras and things like that. So make a mixture, slice them nice and thin, lay them out all over that plate, hit that with a little salt and pepper, a little bit of extra virgin. Not much because you have a vinaigrette you're going to do, but I think you should dress them at least a little bit. And then roast your chicken or saute your chicken or grill your chicken, whatever you prefer. And or you could even poach it if that's a way that you like it. But in my mind, with this dish, I'm grilling the chicken breast with the skin on and getting it nice and crispy and cooking it just right.
Ooh, so, I got to tell you, the poached and then like poached with the skin, you know, fat in it, in stock, chilled. Next day, very tender slice laid out with that vinaigrette.
That would be good.
And maybe some, small Yukon Gold potatoes or something like that, sliced under that, and more of that oil to absorb some of that vinaigrette as well.
Yeah, that would be fun. I love that idea, especially with, we can get great local potatoes right now too, and they're so good. So, with a poached chicken breast, you can poach the legs as well, and then, there's just so many things you can do with that. Now you can make also a cold salad with that as well, a more traditional chicken salad or something, but, we're getting local celery. But anyway, yeah, so that's a fun way to start, I think, and nice and healthy and light.
Well, and the tomatoes give you a nice acid to set off the vinaigrette too, so.
So I'm going to give you a different one to start with, because I think I'm curious to see what you'll do with it, which is,
okay.
How about fresh buffalo milk mozzarella? As the first ingredient.
As the first ingredient. Instead of chicken?
No, to go what you were
with
saying.
Chicken.
What's the ingredient you want to work with? Oh. And then
I'm just going to make a sandwich.
How do you make the chicken? Okay.
I want nice rosemary focaccia.
Yes.
I'm going to grill and season well, almost like a garlicky, a dried Italian herb kind of a seasoning on the chicken breast.
Okay.
And a little Calabrian chili as well, and kind of paint that with extra virgin olive oil with the Calabrian chili as that's coming off the grill. Then cool it all the way, slice it thin. I'm going to render some bacon or maybe guanciale, get it good and crispy. And then fat slices of like black cream, the heirloom tomatoes that have a little bit higher acid. I like those better to cut the mozzarella fat. Slices of that, slices of the chicken. And just frankly do a cheesy, melty,
yeah.
Top to that.
Right.
And then a lot of chopped fresh basil and a little bit more oil.
Oregano would be fun in there too.
And maybe like Tajaski olives or something like that.
Yes, that sounds good.
Just to give you a little bit of a relish or something on there.
Mm-hmm.
You give me mozzarella and the chicken breast, and I'm like, nah, I'm making a sandwich.
Yeah, Marcelo used to take olives and mix them with dried oregano, olive oil, and red pepper flakes. And I could totally see that on there too. That sounds good. Yeah, I like the idea of that little bit of spice.
All right.
Guanciale.
Mm. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you prepared?
I am ready always, at all times, actually.
This is going to be odd.
Okay, I can't wait.
An apricot.
Oh, good. All right. Yum.
But it's like I had an apricot
like
for breakfast.
It's like you're trying to scare me with an apricot.
No,
That's not scary.
I'm just playful.
I love apricots. Okay, so I'm going to do apricots and nectarines and peaches because that's the way I am. And do all of those fruits together.
Nothing exceeds like excess.
And peel them and slice them and then have it all laid out everywhere on the plate. And then I'm going to take Vidalia onions that I've sliced thin and grilled and lay them all over. And those will be hot. So the peaches will be obviously just cut and sliced. And with that onion all over the place. And then I think a little lemon verbena oil. So I'm saying that because I just got a whole bag of it and I'm growing it as well. So I'm like in the lemon verbena right now. And with that, just puree the lemon verbena in the blender with, I'm going to do corn oil because I want it to be more neutral and a little bit of salt. And then that can go over the fruit and over the chicken onions and the apricots.
Drain that verbena, right?
No, once you puree it, if you have a high-powered blender, you can just blend it into oblivion.
It won't be fuzzy.
Nope. As long as if you don't have, it's a Vita Prep. That's what will get the job done. If you have a blender like that, it'll get the job done. If not, then you should strain it. Yeah, but and that's just super simple. But wow, the verbena with the fruit and
the
Vidalia onions,
the verbena, the grilled Vidalias,
and the chicken breast.
What have you done with
the chicken breast? Let's do a chicken leg this time. I love chicken legs.
Chicken breast.
Yes. Okay. So if it's a chicken breast, then I would definitely pan roast it. So. Full tilt, make sure that skin is nice and crispy, and just cook it in a neutral oil again, which would be corn oil or canola, and lightly salt and pepper it. And because the fruit is so sweet, I don't see putting spices or anything hot on there. I don't think it's necessary. I just think the fruit and the onions and the chicken and that verbena oil would be really great together.
It's funny. When you're doing that, of course, like I'm sure that when I'm doing something, you're thinking about, oh, I would have done this.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure,
I'm thinking,
of course.
Oh, I would have made a pretty spicy salsa with the apricots.
Oh, that's funny. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So the next ingredient, Tony, is okra.
Oh, I love okra.
Yeah?
I don't want to make gumbo, honestly, because that's just like, I don't know. That's a long time in the kitchen on a hot time of the year.
Sure,
you know? I do love to fry some okra. And you can pan fry it the same way that you would like chicken fry something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to take it back. I want to stew the chicken.
Okay.
And
I was going to say, the good thing about gumbo is once you've made it, you've got it for a couple of days.
Yeah, I want to stew the chicken with whatever fresh beans are around. So if it's limas that are coming or if it's black-eyed peas would be ideal.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to stew the chicken and give it a little bit of heat and decent garlic and plenty of – it's some broth and some tomato product.
Yeah.
That you want to stew that with. So that you have the acid.
Well, you can
there.
Use those tomatoes that have gone a little over for that.
Yeah, it's a good way to utilize them for sure. That's soups the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I want to come up with a stew that, and you know, the okra will thicken it, which is kind of cool. It's what they. It's not everyone's favorite food word, but mucilaginous.
Mm-hmm.
And have that with so just a little bit of rice.
What's your spice in there?
Traditional would be to use phyllo. I'd be interested in using curry.
That would be nice.
You know, I think that would be kind of a fun.
Both are good.
And nice, cold, like fat Riesling from Alsace or something like that with that dish.
Okay. Riesling and gumbo. I like it.
Yeah. That's.
That sounds good.
I love okra.
A nice, simple rice. You don't need, you know, if you've got all that going on, you can make a straightforward rice with it.
Cindy's famous 5-minute rice.
Yeah. Onion, butter, shallot. Rice, chicken stock, maybe a little salt and pepper, and you could always put a little Tabasco in, but I wouldn't put much in. Yeah, because you've got so much flavor in the gumbo, especially if you've made it spicy. I think a habanero in there would be nice. That would be delicious. Yeah. And also poblano peppers are coming in, and that would be fun in there too, just to have your pepper in there, which is pretty traditional in gumbo.
It would kind of dominate, but, you know, habanero gives you a high note.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's... Nice. Poblano is kind of like a really noisy tenor in that chorus.
Okay, maestro. You are supposed to give me something I'm supposed to be
working
with.
I'm going to give you something you're supposed to work with. All right, Cindy. Be like that. Walnuts.
Oh.
I love walnuts.
I do too, but I didn't expect.
And
okay, chicken or walnuts.
And
all
you
right.
Toast them and they offset things.
Stop, it's my product.
God.
Okay, so walnuts. Well, I love walnuts. All right, so obviously we have to toast them. Even if we don't do anything else to them, they need to be toasted beautifully in the oven on a sheet pan on parchment paper at probably 300 degrees is safe. Probably non-convected oven is even better. Keep an eye on them. Move them around on the pan while you're roasting them so that they don't become unevenly roasted. Mm-hmm. And it only takes a couple minutes.
So how does one know that they have been roasted and get them off that pan?
Well, they'll smell good, and they will be a little bit darker than they were, but not too dark. And that's pretty much it. You know,
yeah.
And they will crisp up after they cool down.
Yeah, you'll see a little bit of oil on the surface of them when they're...
And you do, as you sort of alluded to, you do want to take them off that pan immediately because they will continue to cook on that pan, especially at 300 degrees. So put them on something cool, lay them out where they can cool down nicely, and then I'm going to crush them once they're cool.
It's unkind.
Yes, well, that's the way I am. And then, so crush them, and I'm going to get out sesame seeds, both white and black sesame seeds.
Curious.
As well. And I am going to make a... batter with that, which is a batter with all-purpose flour, sparkling water, baking powder, baking soda, salt and pepper, and I'll add the sesame seeds to that. So it's going to be like a triple whammy because I'm also going to put some poppy seeds in there. So if we're going to do nuts, we're going to do seeds, and we're going to do greens. And I think what would be very, very fun is to do wilted kale with a little bit of, we say lardon, but large pieces of bacon that have been cooked off until it's nice and crispy, but not too crispy. Reserve the fat. So what we can do is we can put that bacon fat in the pan, the lardons back in. I'm assuming you're doing your mise en place ahead of time, and then you're putting it all together when you go to serve. So bacon in the pan. Add the I would chiffonade the greens, and you really don't need any salt. You do need a little bit of pepper, and just wilt them nicely in there. And serve, have the crushed walnuts in the pan right at the very end, mix it all together, and then serve that battered fried piece of chicken with that. That would be really fun and good.
I'm just trying to think. That's a wild wine match. That very definitely. I've got to think about that for a minute.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's almost a stumper.
It's like red wine, but not, right?
Yeah. Kale is very tricky. You may have me. I'm going to think about that during our break.
Okay.
And when we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we are going back onto the Chicken Breast Olympics on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine on WIPR. Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And so Cindy and I are talking chicken breasts. Like, I got chicken breasts at the store. I don't want to be boring. What am I going to do? And so we're running through a lot of different, I propose that we choose a principal product that you match up with and then build a dish around that. And the last one was walnuts, I proposed to Cindy. And recap your dish, because this completely...
Okay. So kale. Like
at first glance, kind of stumped me wine-wise.
Okay. So the kale is wilted. You chiffonade it, and you wilt it in bacon fat, crispy bacon, and add pepper to it. And then it's served with, and we finished it with crushed walnuts that we roasted in the oven, that mixture. And then it's served with chicken that's in a batter with black and white sesame seeds, all-purpose flour, sparkling water, baking and soda, baking powder and baking soda.
And so the it's presented the
crispy chicken on top of the bed of the wilted kale with the bacon and the walnuts.
All right, now I got it.
I want to eat
I was wrong-headed
that
because
sounds so good.
There was something that made me feel like, oh, is it red? Is it Italian red? I'm like, no, I'm not going to fight fire with fire.
I think it should be American.
You need better acidity than most of what we do.
All right.
It could be the Gewürztraminer that Analema makes in Oregon. Mm. Which is only very slightly off dry.
That's American, Tony.
It is, but that is not my first choice. And Steve's a brilliant winemaker. And,
it's your first choice for a lot of things, but not for this dish.
Not for this dish.
Okay.
It actually ages really well, too. I've got a bunch of 2011 sitting in the cellar at home. That being said, Wine Nerd comes out. What I would want is something that's a little bit off dry from Alsace. There is a grape called Silvaner, and the wine, when made by Rolly Gassmann, his 2017, is very light but a bit unctuous at the same time. It's like flower nectar that's just slightly sweet and has a real lift to it, and great length. And I think would have no problem with the bitter of the walnuts or the bitter of the kale.
Okay. All righty.
I'm going to be happy for that chicken.
Happiness. So... it's your turn.
It is.
Okay. So ideas for chicken breasts, which apparently I thought at some point were also chicken legs, if you're listening in the last
Cindy's
part.
Given to mixing up body parts.
Okay. So your next main ingredient is zucchini. I feel like it's password.
Oh, yeah.
The password is zucchini, Tony.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead.
This is going to weird you out.
Okay.
I'm going to grind the chicken.
That's fine.
I'm going to add duck fat to it.
Well, that sounds good.
I'm going to make chicken burgers.
Okay. How are you going to grind it? What are you going to grind it in?
Food processor.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just kind of, as rough as I can get away with it in the food processor.
You can get it done. You know? I'd rather put it through a meat grinder, but and you know, you can buy those attachments. If you have like a KitchenAid, you can buy a grinder attachment for your house, which is nice.
And I will cheat a little bit, and I'll sweat a little bit of like white onion ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And then
okay. Toss
it in there to grind with.
So duck fat,
salt,
ground
duck
onion,
fat,
ground chicken, salt, pepper.
Onion sweated,
mm-hmm.
not raw, and the chicken. And for that burger, I'm going to make zucchini fries.
Oh,
I love
good.
Them.
That's fun. Yeah, I like that.
Because by the time, if you get rid of the skins, you get rid of the seeds,
mm-hmm.
and you cut, you know, a medium-sized zucchini into like long eighths, you end up with these long... You know, what looks almost like dragon beans or something.
Mm-hmm.
And just like they make a beignet batter that you've talked about a million times. Fry those guys. And you've got chicken burger. Maybe have like a little sweet potato bun or something like that for that. And, you know, use some of your capers and make almost like a remoulade sauce.
Mm-hmm.
For on top of that and zucchini fries.
That's good.
Yes.
I like that.
That would be good.
I would like a chicken burger.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's if you're really, really nice to me, I'll make it for you. Because now I want one too.
Not going to happen.
No, it's not.
All right. Okay.
Since it's not going to happen, I have a special ingredient for you.
Okay. What's that? Fava beans. No? Okay.
No.
Well, I thought I was reading your mind. What is it?
No. Eggplant.
Okay, good. I just made
some
eggplant.
We're on summer vegetables, so.
Yeah, I just made eggplant.
Eggplant.
So, let's see. Well, we've talked about roasted eggplant quite a few times, so I won't go there.
Yeah, no.
No, we can't talk about that ever again. I love roasted eggplant. Cut them in half. Brush them with extra virgin olive oil, which is rare that we cook with extra virgin olive oil and salt. And they act like sponges, just like mushrooms. So you roast them. I did them last night in a 300-degree oven. We got some from one of the local farms. And it took about 25 minutes to get them tender. They were small, really small eggplants, by the way. But anyway, so that is how you roast an eggplant, just so I've said it. And I take it out of the skin and then just do whatever I want to with it. I think I want to peel them. You can peel them with a peeler, wash them really well. I mean, these were super dirty, which is makes sense. They just came out of the ground, so or off the plant. And peel them and then dice it into a medium dice. I don't think you want to go small dice. It just becomes too tiny and turns into nothing because it does sort of just melt away when you cook it. I just eggplant's fascinating to work with. And saute it in a little bit of canola oil with salt and a little bit of pepper and just make almost like it will end up being almost like a fondue or a puree in the end. And, you know, I really want you to cook it until it's nice and tender. And you can throw a piece of butter in near the end so that you do get a little bit of that richness in there. Not much, but just a little bit. And then finish it with a tiny bit of lemon juice so that there's interest in it. And then I would also consider... It would be fun to fry a few pieces, but if you don't want to go to that, you don't want to get the oil out and you don't want to deal with it, you could also do a tomato relish for this because, again, I just keep thinking tomatoes because we have so many gorgeous ones around right now. And eggplant tomato obviously is so good. I mean, ratatouille has peppers and eggplant and onions and garlic and fresh herbs and tomatoes in it. So this is just sort of a play on that in a way. And make a tomato relish. I would mandir the tomatoes. Let's get rid of the skin everywhere on this dish.
Stop for a second. Explain mandir,
please. Sure. Mandir means you cut a little, let's say it's a larger tomato. So you cut an X in the bottom of the tomato. You have your ice bath ready to go. A nice amount of water and ice, a good amount of it. So you can plunge your tomatoes in there after you've cooked them because you want to immediately stop the cooking process because you're not cooking the tomato. You're making it so you can pull the skin off very easily. That's the whole idea of mandiring a tomato. And so you have a big pot with boiling water. You put those tomatoes in there. It takes all of about 30 seconds. You'll see the skin start to loosen up. It kind of depends on what kind of tomato is and how thick those skins actually are. And then pull them out. Go into the ice bath, let them cool down nicely, and then you can take that skin off like just with your hands. It's super easy. And then what I think would be really fun is I was talking about a relish, but now I'm going to backtrack. I'm going to cut those tomatoes in half, take out a little bit of the center, chop that up, mix it with a little bit of Reggiano, a little bit of breadcrumb, a little bit of basil and salt and pepper, and stuff those things. That would be so good with that little bit. And then you can have that like eggplant fondue kind of thing on the bottom of the plate. put that stuffed tomato on there, slice the chicken, roasted chicken breast or grilled. It can be grilled. Actually, I think I'd grill it for this. Grilled chicken breast all around, nice thin slices laid around. Hit it all with a little bit of extra virgin olive oil. I think that would be yummy, yummy fun. Or you could stuff the tomato with the eggplant fondue, which would also be fun. And you could put some mozzarella in there, diced mozzarella. I could keep going.
You are going. That's definitely a, like, fat Provençal rosé.
Okay.
Summertime, very cold, buckets of it.
Buckets.
Responsibly.
Right. Well, that sounds good. Okay. All right, your next ingredient, Tony?
Yes.
Is local celery.
Oh, I love celery.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes me to wanting to poach the chicken breast again, but serve them warm. In this case, and make the stock that they're being poached in heavy on the celery, heavy on onion, some fennel, very, very, you know, happy aromatic stuff. Poach that till just done, and then a little clarified butter in a pan. Toss it around, get a little crispy on the outside, just a tiny little.
Take the poached chicken out of the poaching liquid and
get it a little bit golden.
Okay.
And then it's just a matter of what else you want to play with.
Celery.
You know, is it, well, I mean, is it a little like fat brioche crouton that you do around? You do like a perfect slice of the supreme there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be the one to do it, not you. And a slice of one of those Australian truffles that you're getting, or New Zealand truffles that you're getting right now.
Australian, yes.
You know, with some crunchy salt on top of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a perfect little canapé. Mm-hmm. You know, especially if you wrap the chicken tight and you get it so that form is pretty round when you poach it.
Yeah, that would be fun.
You know, but just think about it, just warm, just finished in butter, on that little buttery brioche toast with that truffle slice on it. I bet you would eat that.
I love it. Oh, you know I would eat that. I'd go make that right now if I could. Oh my gosh, I was thinking you were talking about truffles. You wanted to bring them up instead.
It's funny.
Of me,
I'm
so
the one with the butter and the
truffles,
and you're the one with the olive oil.
So I was thinking, you know, it would be really good. And I'm going to give my own ingredient: squash blossoms. We can still get them, which is so exciting. I feel like it's just such a short window. But with a chicken breast, do the fried squash blossoms. Do the chicken breast, like, again, grilled or roasted, whichever, doesn't matter. I wouldn't poach it or roast it in the oven, and do shaved, which I never do because I like the texture of a truffle. But I was thinking about this yesterday when I was trying to come up with chicken breast ideas, but put the squash blossom on top of the chicken breast and then just shave truffle on top of it. So you're not using that much and it's perfuming the whole thing, and then hit the dish with a little beurre blanc. Oh, that sounds so good. Squash blossoms and truffles and chicken and beurre blanc.
All right. So since you're breaking all the rules, the thing I'm thinking about, it's a strange idea. You remember Bocuse is a chicken in a pig's bladder?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So when you roast something like that, it's incredibly moist, right? Mm-hmm. That chicken is stuffed with really aromatic things. And then
it's cooked in a situation where it steams the whole
time.
Yeah,
it steams the entire time.
Right, in that bladder
thinking,
that looks like a balloon.
Mm-hmm. What will come in September? Pumpkins.
Oh, I can't wait.
So what if...
For September.
Yeah.
In October.
So what if, you know, make a stuffing with the nice mushrooms that are around, you know, and the green garlic that comes at that time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And... roasted chicken. Yeah, and you have to clean out that pumpkin, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But roasted chicken and like a rouge pumpkin, I think it's the right shape.
Okay.
Has some size to it.
That would be fun.
You know?
Yeah,
I think that,
I like that.
I think that might be very interesting.
Well, that's forward thinking. All right, so we can plan for that.
That's honestly, it's kind of backward thinking, but it's just thinking what... cooking method, you know, you're thinking about, okay, here's a product, and we've talked about a lot of different cooking methods. And it's funny, and the thing that, like, the instinct is, I mean, we talked about roasting in the pan, which is very straightforward. We talked about grilling it, which is pretty straightforward. Those are always just about what is your technical
frying.
Facility doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
But poaching, frying, poaching, serving it warm, serving it cold, poaching and finishing it a different way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so now I want to put a chicken in a pumpkin.
Okay. I want to taste that. I bet it's going to be good.
And I want to make a puree out of that pumpkin.
I will say, if you can ever travel to Bocuse and have that dish, it is really one of the most amazing things. And they present it tableside, so you get to see the chicken in the bladder, you know, and then they carve it and everything. And it's such a spectacular dish. And they're so good at making it, of course, because they're amazing.
Well, I mean, it's perfectly moist. I mean, you never have to. What's the thing you worry about? You know, you worry about with poultry is like, oh, is it dry?
Right, because it's so lean.
You know, how do I roast something that has essentially no fat in a pan, and get it to not be dry, but get it to be cooked?
Yeah. Well, and also we should talk about quality of chicken. I mean, there's not a lot of choices out there, but there are some that are quite good. And, you know, there's product that you can buy online through some purveyors that the farmers are doing some very special stuff with. You know, the chickens are free. Cool. They're free range. They're eating really good product.
The green circle.
Those green circle chickens.
That are smaller.
Amazing.
One of those guys. Mm-hmm. One of those guys in that pumpkin.
Yeah, that. Well, and also I'm getting Poussin right now, and those are some of the best little chickens I've ever tasted. And
those are younger, like 16 weeks.
Right. They're very young, and they're tiny, and they're just so sweet and clean. I mean, the flavor's just so crisp and clear. I mean, it's just so delicious.
They've not developed the bad attitude of their teen years. Anyway, when we come back on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, we're going to throw a last couple of chicken thoughts in there. Talk about matching wines to chicken in general. And then, if Cindy's nice, we'll do a chef's challenge. All of that and more on Formula Wolf on Food and Wine on WIPR. Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And Cindy, so we're deep into chicken right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about chicken breast preparations. Like, you get home, you have stuff from the store, and you're like, I'm bored. So what do you think? Why buy what kind of chicken? It's up there in a million ways in the case, right?
Right. Well, you know, I think what matters is always is the life of the bird, you know. Was it stress-free, for one thing? Was it hormone-free? All of those things that we look for now in our food product. And, yeah, so if you can find something that's free-range and something that's getting a chance to eat some, you know, nice, healthy product and what the things they like to eat when they're free-ranging as well. So I think that's, you know, some of the products like Smart Chicken, like the Green Circles, those are, you know, nice, healthy, good products. And it shows in the taste of the chicken. Like I use the word clean, and I know that, you know, maybe is kind of weird to say, but it's such a clear, crisp flavor, you know?
But it has more flavor.
Yeah, and more. And if you can find a young chicken, I think that those are pretty delicate, and they also have good flavor. They tend to be sweeter almost in tone. And it's kind of fun to have something like a Poussin, because then you're roasting these little birds, and, you know, it's something different as far as a chicken goes. But, yeah, just look for something that's high quality. If you can afford to, the better you can buy, the better you're going to like it. That's all it comes down to. And I bought those Poussin the other day, and I fried the breasts, which I've never done before. The last time I served them whole for two people. They're just so good, roasted whole on the bone. But I wanted to do something different, and I thought, wow, it would be fun, because we used to serve chicken, fried chicken at the restaurant for many years and don't do it anymore. And I'm like, oh, can you imagine a fried little, you know, Poussin breast? That would be delicious. And then I made coq au vin from the thighs and the legs and all the bones, and, you know, roasted the bones and made a great stock. And it was a lot of fun. It was such a cute little portion for the coq au vin, and that turned out really nicely. And I garnished it. Typically, you would use button mushrooms, a pearl onion, and lardon, bacon, is a traditional garnish for coq au vin. And I did all of those things. I did use cipollinis instead of the pearl onions, and I added chanterelles. We had little button chanterelles, and that was a really nice addition to the coq au vin, but not traditional.
Not exactly, but Sounds delicious. It's at the other end of the age range for coq au vin.
Exactly. I mean, like, it's the exact opposite of what you're supposed to be making out of coq au vin, which is an old spent bird, right?
Not coq au vin.
No.
So what because we did this in the way that we did it, where we gave each other ingredients, what's the thing that you really wanted to work with?
I think
what's the thing that you're dying to work with a chicken dish, and what is that dish?
Well, right now, corn is just, I mean, I ate a bowl of corn before I left the kitchen last night. We just got some of the best. I mean, I literally had to message someone that I know that loves corn, because I'm like, you should be here right now, because this is some of the best corn I've tasted since I was
unite.
A kid. Yeah. And, you know, I grew up in Indiana, where they produce tremendous sweet corn. And my mom used to, you know, just drive down the road to the farmer's stand and pick corn, and then she'd bring it home and cook it, and we'd eat it for dinner, you know, with butter on the cob, and she'd probably make chicken or something for it. You know, it'd be something very simple dinner, but we'd eat a lot of corn. And I have fond memories. Well, the other thing she would do is boil shrimp. That was another thing she would make for boiled corn on the cob. We'd just have boiled shrimp and peel and eat that, and she'd probably make cocktail sauce for that. But anyway, so I had corn last night, and it was just so good. And I was thinking, I bought off the chicken breast topic, I bought Corbuto pork racks to serve tonight. And so I have corn on the brain. So for chicken breast, I would make spoon bread. And I like spoon bread made
from... No, I love spoon bread so much.
Me too. I love polenta, period. I love ground corn, whether it's corn bread, you know, cornmeal being used in some way, polenta being used in some way. So when I make spoon bread, I make it in a lighter way, if you will, than how it used to be made. So it would have been sort of more dense and done in a big dish and served on a sideboard, and you would spoon it out and eat it, whether it was for breakfast or lunch or dinner. I make mine with cream, polenta, a tiny bit of chicken stock, and whole eggs and egg yolks, salt and pepper. And you have to cook the polenta for a few minutes before you add the eggs. So I usually cook it about 5 minutes. It just kind of gets the polenta going. Typically, if we make creamy polenta, it takes 40 minutes on low and slow, as we say, low and slow, low heat, very slowly, stirring a lot. So to only cook it for about 5 minutes gets it started before it goes into the oven. All right, so we're going to do it in souffle cups, you know, ramekins, whatever you want to call them. You make the mixture, you cook the cream and the polenta together with the salt and pepper, add a little bit of chicken stock, and then you whisk in whole eggs and yolks, and you put it into the ramekins, and you put it in a water bath and bake it at a 275 degree oven for about 25 to 30 minutes. And I don't like to put corn in there. I like it to be that silky, smooth texture. So I would like to introduce the roasted corn into the dish, and I, quite frankly, just saute it in butter with salt and pepper. There's nothing better. It doesn't need anything else. And then just have like a whole line of that corn on the plate. You have your spoon bread turned out from the custard dish, and then you have I would roast the chicken breast and have that laid out, sliced, whatever you want to do to it. And you don't need anything else. That's it. It's delicious. You could add greens to the plate if you wanted. But that sounds good to me. Summer dish.
It's funny. For my girls always want polenta. But in the summer, they always want fresh corn polenta. So while you're cooking the polenta, you can cut the kernels off the cob and just add them there towards the end of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness. That's the best landing place for a piece of, you know, salmon roasted in the pan, or a piece of rockfish, or certainly a chicken breast. I'm just thinking, with the chicken breast, maybe a handful of cherry tomatoes roasted in the pan.
Mm-hmm. That would be
just
nice.
A little warm and kind of bursting, you know, to go with that. A little plate of summertime.
That's what it's all about. Lots of fun stuff right now. It's a good time to be cooking and eating.
So wine with chicken depends so much about the preparation, because you can run from delicate whites to rich reds, for sure.
Okay.
The chicken with the corn, it's that other ingredient that kind of dictates it, honestly. Corn always, to me, wants American Chardonnay, like good, rich American Chardonnay. And, you know, those popcorny flavors that...
Yeah, that sounds great.
That makes sense with... You know, when it was apricots, then it's like, oh, let's look at Alsace, let's look at, you know, let whatever that ingredient is. If you're grilling and it's with peppers and it's spicy, it's, you need a red that's zesty, you know, that the Primitivo or something like that. What you don't need is a huge amount of tannin in a red wine ever.
Right, yeah.
And what you don't need is a white wine that's shrill, because there's always richness to the, you know, the...
That kind of buttery, wonderful,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but that's rich. It's the preparation that really that leads it. And I think that like, what is my lead ingredient? What am I showing off?
Mm-hmm.
Besides the, what am I setting off against the chicken?
Yeah, because it's so neutral. Chicken,
because
so.
That's the thing. That's your triumvirate, right?
Got it. Yeah, makes sense.
The flavor of that wine.
That works. Tony, I think we should do a chef challenge.
You think so?
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
You think you're up to it?
Yeah, so here you go, Tony.
Did you get some breakfast?
There's your product.
I'm first.
Yes.
What in the world is going on?
All right.
Okay. Oh, cantaloupe. Man, I had a hard time learning to spell that when I was a kid.
Really? That's funny.
It always looks okay. Like cantaloupe to me.
Sure.
Cantaloupe, heirloom tomato, peaches, blackberries. Oh, man, the blackberries are good this year.
Mm-hmm.
Zucchini, corn, badger flame beets. You love those guys. Genovese basil, extra virgin olive oil, lemon verbena, canary melon, chicken breast, salt, and pepper.
I had to add the chicken breast. And I almost didn't give you the chicken breast because I'm like, I just want you to have to do vegetables and fruit. But that's all you get to work with.
You just did.
You may not have any other ingredient other than what's on that list. A real chef's challenge.
So, okay.
No. And we're not, that's the rule.
Okay. That's the rule.
Tony's got a big sigh coming. He's going to cry in a minute.
May I have salt? Yes, I have salt on here.
Salt,
sorry.
And pepper.
All right. I want to make a first course salad, and I want it with the cantaloupe, the heirloom tomatoes, and the peaches. I'm going to reserve a little bit of heirloom. Maybe if there are any green heirlooms, like evergreens or something like that, I want to put a little bit of that to the side. But I want a pretty equal balance between the cantaloupe, the heirloom tomato, and the peaches. I think the sweetness, the acid, and the that muskiness that the cantaloupe can have, I think if you get the balance right, they can be very interesting with just some of the basil, some of the extra virgin olive oil. I think that's fun. The canary melon is a bit of an outlier. That's not going to make part of that balance work. Canary melon has a very different flavor. Yeah, I've got that one's one to sort out, because zucchini, the corn, the beets. Zucchini and corn are easy. I mean, I guess really there's a bit of a succotash that you could make if you could just boil those beets off, you know, and maybe put some vinegar in the water, give them a little bit of a pickly edge.
But you don't have vinegar.
I don't. I said you could, but you can't.
You can't.
So, yeah.
You could make sorbet from the canary melon or an ice, a granite. I guess not a sorbet,
no,
but a granite.
Yeah, that's what I want is a landing place for the... for the chicken breast, so zucchini, corn, badger flame beets, and a bit of a succotash. Actually, I like that idea. Chicken breast. Well, you gave me black pepper, so I'm definitely going to do a solid job of.
You need to use that.
I'm going to pound that chicken breast, and I'm going to give it a pretty good pepper crust, and I'm going to make a little relish with a canary melon, and the verbena. And there's no onion product here. God bless America. Oh, well. I'll make a very simple relish with the melon, with the canary melon and the verbena for that black peppery, spicy, you know, crispy, thin chicken breast on top of the succotash, the zucchini, the corn, and the badger flame beets.
Okay.
So there you go. And here is yours.
Okay.
And you can use anything you might have in your kitchen at home.
All right,
because one of us is much kinder than the other.
Boneless, skinless chicken breast, sweet potatoes, guanciale, sage, fresh, Tuscan, black kale, that's funny, garlic, onion, shallot, Roma tomatoes, ricotta?
Ricotta.
Extra virgin olive oil, grapefruit, red wine vinegar. Okay.
And anything you might have in your kitchen.
Ready.
And your pantry.
Sweet potatoes. Not one of my favorite ingredients.
In the garden.
Mm. Roast the sweet potatoes in the oven until they're nice and tender. Obviously, you have to rub them with a little corn oil. You need to poke them with a fork and wrap them in foil and roast them like that. And then take the meat out of the skin and pass it through a tammy. Yeah. And then I'm going to saute the onion, shallot, and garlic. I like to butter poach garlic, so I'll saute the onion and shallot in a small dice. Butter poach the garlic, add it to the sweet potato, and I'm going to fry the sage. So I'll just make it crispy and a little bit of corn oil on the stove. And I will garnish the sweet potato puree with the crispy sage and the guanciale and a julienne. And I will wilt.
No butter and no cream?
No. Nope. I will wilt. I will really chiffonade the kale, Tuscan black kale, and saute that in, I don't know what, I guess a little bit of corn oil, since I can use whatever I want.
Whatever's in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. And then deglaze with the red wine vinegar you gave me. And quite frankly, I'm going to supreme the grapefruit, and I'm going to add that to the kale. God, I think that might be fun. And I'm going to take the ricotta and just wash the plate with it. So what's going to happen is the ricotta, I'm going to spread it on like half of the plate, and then that sweet potato puree will go on there with the guanciale and the crispy sage, and then the Tuscan kale will go next to it with that hint of grapefruit and red wine vinegar, not too much because it'll just make it too acidic, but the ricotta will help to calm everything down and sort of bring it all together. And the only thing I have left is the chicken. Oh, I did everything. Okay, so it's one dish, and then it's a boneless, skinless chicken breast, so I will grill it. Sorry. So I will grill the chicken breast and lay it on top.
With raspberries, yeah.
No. There are no raspberries on here. That's it. Okay, I did it.
While you were talking about that, I was thinking about the ricotta. I was thinking about what you have in your kitchen. And what you have in your garden. You have all those edible flowers in your garden.
Mm-hmm.
What about like fresh ricotta with just about a puree or a grind of an awful lot of those flowers and a little bit of a neutral oil?
And a little honey.
Could be.
That would be pretty.
Could be.
Really good honey, local honey. That would be fun.
So... anyway, that's all the chicken business we have for today.
That's enough chicken.
If you want to listen to this episode of Formula Wolf on Food and Wine, go to the WIPR website, WIPR.org. Look for the Formula Wolf page, and there is a dandy menu of family favorites available for your listening pleasure. If you want to follow Chef Cindy Wolf on social media,
you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook as Chef Wolf.
My Instagram is The Real Tony Foreman, and thanks for listening.
Happy Sunday.